Lord speaking to the churches.
Amen.
The Lord was speaking to the seven churches. We have more than seven here. Of course, seven is a number signified in God's economy. It includes all, in fact. But I really appreciate until now the Lord speaking to put us all in the context, not just the book of Revelation, but also today's situation. So we are the churches,
Amen.
And the Lord is caring for the churches.
Amen.
And He's speaking, He's trimming, and He's adding oil.
Amen.
I just feel that we are under the light.
Amen.
We are in God's holy place.
Right.
And He is shining, and He is taking us on. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Lord Jesus,
I
really enjoyed the word to the church in Smyrna. In particular, the fact that tribulations constitute a test to the life of a church. And having this realization that we need to experience the Lord as the first and the last, right? He is the one who can outlast any situation. And we also need to experience the Lord as the one who died and rose again. Right? If we don't experience these things, we can't usher the saints into the experience of the Lord when they're going through a particular situation. This touched me very much. Lord, how we need to experience you as life, as the one who died and rose again, as the one who is the beginning, the first, and the last. Oh, Lord Jesus, we praise you that you can outlast any of our situations. Oh, and our reward is the Lord.
One thing that really struck me and that I appreciate is our brother's word to us that we need to continue this fight for legitimacy, those who are in the Western world, when it comes to the Lord's recovery. And even stating that the Lord's recovery at this time from 28 to 34 not only was legitimate, but actually had relevance to the historical view of the church. And this is something that I don't think about often. In number, we're not that large when we compare ourselves to the rest of Christianity. But at this time, it was relevant and it actually had an impact in the Lord's view of the history of the church. So right now, we're in a great position. We have the ministry, we have the word, we understand the orthodoxy. But now when we're brought into the spiritual experience, we can be legitimate, not just to the rest of Christianity, but we could be relevant to what the Lord wants to do to fulfill His economy.
Amen. Well, I enjoy the reminding word from the brothers that we often have to return and repent. You know, our first love is Christ, He Himself. And even in our service, we have to seek the Lord first. But in order to do that, we realize by ourselves it's impossible. Like our brother James said, review the history, Watchman Nee has seen this, that our individual, as individual, to overcome, sometimes very difficult. But praise the Lord, we are in the church. Amen. Oh, in the church. Corporately, we can overcome. Amen.
Praise the Lord. I believe the thing we heard today that was most important was what the brother just said, the first love. If we don't have the first love, then we don't have anything. We need Christ as our first love. And that means giving Him the first place in all things, the preeminence in all things. That love will bring us into life, right? And that life is the light of men, right? And that light corporately becomes the golden shining lampstands.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, brothers.
Amen.
I'm so excited today to be here with so many brothers from so many places, getting into the orthodoxy of the church. I just feel like the Lord is so pleased with the blending and so many saints who have come from such a distance. And the Lord is the one walking in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. And I just praise him for gathering us all together and for speaking these words to us again and again. I just realized that, you know, I first got into these points when I was about 18 years old. I'm 35 now. But I'm just realizing more and more that I haven't even scratched the surface. So praise the Lord. May he encourage us more and more to continue to get into these things.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I just appreciated this message too, this point on Ephesus. And that Ephesus means desirable. And, you know, outwardly, you would say that Ephesus, their situation looks good. However, the Lord's burden to them was these four points, right? Love, life, light, and lampstand. Amen. So this is the burden. And in order for life, light, and lampstand to take place, we need to return to the first works. Right, and the first works is to regain the Lord as our first love. Amen. And I just appreciate this point. Outwardly, we may be doing something that looks good. Actually, we may think that we're living to the Lord, but actually, we're only living for the Lord, right? There's a difference. To live for the Lord means that our view is that we would do something for the Lord, but the Lord's view is that we would live to him, and to live to him means just to love the Lord. Amen. And to have him as the first love. It's not a matter of doing something, but it's a matter of him being the source. And this is our loving the Lord and having him as the first love. So I just appreciate, you know, Lord, really recover this among us. Lord, really expose our living for the Lord and bring us to live to the Lord.
Amen. When we read the word to the Ephesus, the church in Ephesus, talking about, I have one thing against you. Amen. And oftentimes we think, oh, it's just one thing. So other 100 things may be good. But this Amen. One thing is the most important thing. Amen. It's our first love. It's not you say, oh, I go back to when I got saved, what kind of love? No, this love is the best love. Amen. The best love we can offer to the Lord. Amen. Actually, the Lord deserves our best love. Amen. Brothers, Amen. We really need to give our best love to him. Amen. And also here is that when you need to repent and do the first works. And brother mentioned that you maybe go back, do the same thing, but the sources is different. Motivation is different. Amen. Because that has come from the best love. Amen. So Amen. The brothers, may we all have a best love for our Lord.
Amen. I also enjoy a lot regarding the church in Ephesus. I think just a kind of low sovereignty, bring, you know, in the church in New York City, we are covered the 1 Corinthians 13. Regarding the definition of love, really I see how much God desires, you know, us to love him with his divine love, the agape love. And especially I kind of touched by the way brother kind of conclude with the four words. Amen. You know, the Lord desires a testimony from his church, but without the love, there's no life. Right. No life, there's no light of man. No light of man, there's no testimony. But sometimes it's so easy for me to focus on our work, not focus about my motive and my goal. So this needs to be recovered, because leaving the first love will be the source and the cause of the church failure. I just want to tell the Lord, Lord, keep my love.
Amen. We need to remember where we have fallen from. That was a striking point. As I was listening, and yes, we need to remember where we have fallen from. Amen. And that we may have a lot of works, and these works are, you know, seemingly the same, you know. But the first work, the difference is your motive. It's that motive is out of love for the Lord. Amen. So, and also enjoy the love and light and lampstand. So when we overcome in this matter of loving the Lord, we have the right to the tree of life. Amen. When we receive life, that produce light. And as we meet together corporately, they become the lampstand. Amen.
Actually, I enjoyed something that one of the brothers shared in his prophesying, which is that often we think of first love as the love that we had to the Lord when we first got saved. At least that's the way I had actually thought about it right up till right this moment. That's why I wanted to come up and share. Up to now, I had thought the first love is that love we had to the Lord when we first got saved. And it's kind of like the honeymoon, right? Where everything is just great and there's no problems and we can do anything for the Lord. And there, you know, but then life, you know, there's struggles. As we go on in our Christian life, there's testings, there's tribulations, there's valleys, dark periods, you know, where we think, do I even, like, want to be a Christian, you know? Do I have the faith to and the love to even go on the next day, you know? And so our love is tested, you know, test after test, you know. The Lord weighs our hearts, you know. He tests our spirits, you know. Do you really love me, you know? Do you love me more than anything? Do you love me more than life itself? And are you going to finish this race, you know? But we should be encouraged because the Lord will only test those who love him and only will test those whom he loves, right? The Lord's not going to test like that those who don't belong to him, right? Those whom he doesn't love. He tests those who loves, right? Like the Bible says, he disciplines those whom he loves, right? So actually we could take our testing in that light, that it's something of love for us. Amen. That when our love is tested, it will come out like gold. You know, we will know that we really love the Lord. When we love the Lord after we go through something, then we know, yes, I love the Lord because I still love him, even though I went through this, you know? And I think we could take it in that light. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you for his speaking. He's speaking to the seven churches. Actually, it's speaking to us right now. Amen. I was very touched by the speaking of the first love in the chapter 2, in the message 2. The first love is the best love. Actually, it's the preeminence for God. And for my experience is that we need to give the first place to God in our heart. Everything, we need to seek God's interest first. But many times, actually, we fail. This message really is a timely message to bring us back to the source. The source of our life and the source of our work. And also, we find out the problem, why we always fail. Amen. We can, many times we start to work and coordinate or start a service with the brothers. And gradually, we realize that we cannot love each other. Gradually, we find out the works did not turn out as we expected. We disappointed. Why? Because we do not have the first love. That the work we are doing is not issue from the first love. That is not the first work. Amen. And the one thing very striking me is that the rebuking of the law is to, if you don't repent, I'm coming to you and remove your lampstands. This is very striking. I always pay attention. We need to repent back to the first love. But I never pay attention to the consequence that we work or serve without the first love. Which means if we serve from our own source, from our own love, what we have built will be useless in God's eyes. Amen. So I had to repent. Oh, Lord Jesus, I had to repent. Oh, Lord Jesus, I need to recover back to the first love. I love you first and take you and give you the preeminence. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Yeah. We're going over 1 Corinthians 13 in the church in New York City, you know, and last Lord's Day, we covered something about how the Lord's restoration of Peter, you know, in John 21. And, you know, I in a way, you know, I thought I was touched. This was an example of the Lord's shining eyes, I think, you know. I mean, among other things, right? Among other things, it was at least an example of the Lord's shining eyes because the Lord asked three questions to Peter, right? I mean, it wasn't just one question three times. It was like three questions, right? The first time, do you love me more than these? You know, and, you know, I don't know what the these is, you know. I mean, some say the these is the trappings of fishing, right? Or some, I mean, maybe that's the most likely explanation. Do you love me more than these? You know, and I mean, I think that's a test to many of us who work, right? Do you love me more than these? It's always a test, you know. So, you know, look, Peter said, you know that I love you, right? And in each case in Peter's response, he used the word phileo. In the first two questions, the Lord used the word agape. But the third question was different, right? The second question was just, do you love me? You know, I don't know, but I mean, it seems like, do you love me more than these? That's at a certain level, right? At another, I mean, at the other level, the next level down, it's like, do you love me? This is a deeper question. You know, oh Lord Jesus. I mean, the Lord's searching, praise the Lord for his searching, right?
Amen.
Amen. And Peter again, he said, Lord, you know that I love you, right? And then the third time he said, and again, he used the word phileo, you know, and there's a slight difference between the word phileo and agape. You know, a phileo is kind of a warmth, almost like a natural human warmth that we have, you know. Agape is something more that is not so much the warmth, but a matter of our will, you know, our choices, you know. Anyway, the third time the Lord asked Peter, do you phileo me? You know, I mean, I think that was another level of shining, you know. But I think all these things just show that the Lord wants our first love.
Amen.
And then the Lord, Peter said, you know, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you with the phileo love, right? So, you know, we don't really hear in that particular case, Peter saying he loved the Lord with the agape love, right? But, you know, I believe that you can see in his story that he did love the Lord with the agape love, you know. And if not in the book of Acts, at least by 1 Peter, you know, he says, whom not seeing you love, right? So Peter knew that the saints loved the Lord because he had the same love. Even though he saw, he loved. So anyways, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. I like that the brother just said it's about the will. Because the kind of love the Lord's looking for is a decision. It's not just a spontaneous feeling. You know, there's a poster I saw not long ago that has two pictures on it. On the one side, it shows a bride and a groom on the wedding day in their fairy tale wedding, right? And it says, this isn't a happy ending. The other picture shows an older couple hand in hand taking a walk, and it said, this is. It's the love of experience. The love of not just, I fell in love with you, but I've been with you all these years and I love you more.
Right.
It's not first in time. It's first in priority.
Right.
It's loving the Lord more than cooking his meals.
Right.
It's loving the Lord more than washing his clothes.
Right.
You know, thinking as a bride, right? What does the bride do as she becomes a wife? It's the love that is built up over time and experience.
Amen.
It's the love that allows a couple to pray together, not just to have fun together in various ways. And our love for the Lord is it going to just be, what's the right word, perfunctory? Oh yeah, I love you.
Yeah,
yeah. Of course I love you. I'm still here, aren't I? Right? No. It is, I love you. let's read that verse. Depart from our mind any thought that it's first in time.
Amen.
It is first and most and best.
Amen.
I will be the first one, last one to prophesy in this session. And brothers, this morning is not only a historical moment. In Chinese, there was a speaking said, if you use history as a mirror, you will know the rise and the fall of kingdoms. I think this morning, the Brothers of Fellowship really set a mirror for us from a historical perspective, that the legitimacy and relevancy of our existence and our progression and where we are going. So we know where we are rooted. Thousands of years ago, even before the foundation of the world, we know where we are rooted. And in time, we know where we are from. And even in today's recovery, we know where the Lord restarted the recovery or continued the recovery. This morning, our brother reviewed the history. I think probably more than half of the brothers sitting here who not only never seen Brother Nee, but neither have we seen Brother Lee. I want to see how many brothers have never even seen Brother Lee in person before or in live videos. I don't mean recorded videos. How many of us who never seen Brother Lee before we come to the church? So it's about a half or a little more than half. We even never seen Brother Lee. Just want to make it clear, we're not following a person. We are not following a mere mortal body, a body. We are following a vision. Amen. We are following a leading of the Spirit. And even in a virgin land in China, it's not because of the Chinese or smarter or anything. No, it's the Lord always moving through history, moving in humanity, trying to find a way out to fulfill his plan, his purpose, and accomplish his economy. And historically, the Lord has been leading us to move on. And our brother particularly mentioned, in the early days, you can see our brothers also trailblazed many different ways, many different parts, by really faithfully following the leading of the Holy Spirit. And to be faithful with the word, not being frustrated or distracted by any Christianity influences. I mean, to read off thousands of years tradition is not that easy. So you can see our brothers paid a dear price, heavy price, to lead us to come this far. And at this time, when we reviewing, returning to the orthodoxy of the church, brothers, this is really, the Lord's recovery is moving to a turning point. And this coming Thanksgiving conference is going to be on the direction of the Lord's present move. And in winter training, in the book of Ezekiel, brothers, all this leading is from heavenly views, a heavenly vision. And now today, we are here. Our brother particularly mentioned the journal published by Christian Research Institute. And a few years ago, when I had a time with Hank, and he said, brother, it took us quite a few years to realize we were wrong. I said, we knew all the way along you were wrong. Brothers, why were you so stubborn with the loving heart of the Lord? Short sighting. No vision. Not even seeing the history. Because the history as a mirror, we see the rise and the fall of the kingdom. And for us, brothers, we hope the younger generation, those who even never seen Brother Lee in person or in live videos, we are not only legitimate, and we are trailblazing, broadening, deepening, and practicing the relevance of this vision and the truth with his economy today. Really be assured. And even today, we need to be reassured. We are on the right way. And we are on the right way moving forward. I mean, all the seven churches are historical references. Yet, is today's relevance. Is relevant with today's, our church life. And moving on, and with your leading in your locality, with the gospel preaching in your locality, with your home meetings, with everything you do in your church life, in our church life. But today, the Lord is speaking. You need to be refreshed and also have a fresh view with today's relevance. And with that journal 2009, even though passed, 7 years all of a sudden passed, that was published by the year end of 2009. Brothers, those are five portions of that article. Took Elliot Miller and his associates almost 6 years to go through a large portion of Brother Lee's books. And they paid a dear price, per se. And in a sense, they deserve it. And we deserve it too. And for them to come up with such a clearly expressed article, we give them credit. We need to give them credit. Yet, how much are we appreciating this ministry? Are we even really appreciating the ministry as much as Elliot Miller, who was a strong opposer of the Lord's recovery for so many years? Brothers, today the burden is on our shoulder. The responsibility is on our shoulder. And even today, under this really disruptive circumstances in this North America, particularly America, you know what I mean. Brothers, our responsibility is ever so heavy because it's a historical responsibility. And by finishing it, I want to read one portion of Brother Lee's. This is one of his books, The 10 Great Critical Ones. Okay, there are two portions, but I only read one portion. This is by the end of message 6. He says, I believe that eventually the truths of the Lord's recovery will conquer the theology of Christianity. Amen. And the revelation of the recovery will captivate all the seeking ones to be the overcomers. Amen. This will close this age and bring in the kingdom with its kings. We should present on the altar all that we are, all that we have, and all that we can, praying, Lord, I offer all to you, for you to conquer Christianity by the divine revelation in the recovery. Brothers, we're talking about our first love. We're talking about our sufferings. We're talking about a marriage with the world. We're talking about the degraded Catholicism. And we are really need to recover so many seeking ones from Sardis, from Thyatira, from Laodicea. And even though we may think we are in the state of Philadelphia, we need to re-examine, and be recalibrated. Recalibrated. The seven R words, brothers, is not only characterizing the seven churches, it's characterizing ourselves. We need to be recalibrated and reconstituted with the recovery and remain in Philadelphia and regain so many fallen ones, so many lost ones, so many backslided ones. Doesn't matter what color they are. Doesn't matter what language they speak. Doesn't matter what ethnicity they are. Doesn't matter what education, what their social rank is. The church needed to stand strong and needed to gain them back and to be built up and to consummate this age by building up the body of Christ. And brothers, these are seven messages we're going to review this morning and this afternoon. It's a reminder as a history. But through the history, we need to see the rise and the fall of kingdoms. And if we're not if we are not careful, brothers, we have the chance to fall as well. So may the Lord start it in the brothers, will continue through generations and through us and to consummate in us. We hope this age will consummate in our time. I know you know for sure, and we know it's coming. But we are not sitting on our hands waiting for the age to consummate. But we need to rise up and take action. This is where the people of God who has a vision will rise up and take actions. Praise the Lord. This may this historical turn really shine in our hearts so we can move on with the Lord. Amen.
We're going to just quickly introduce all the churches that are represented here so that we know how many are here, and then we'll take our lunch time. So can we start from the south, Dunloring? We have a few from Dunloring, Virginia.
Amen.
If you could stand up.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you for traveling so far.
Dunloring. Amen.
Yeah, in Washington, D.C., there was a brother. Yeah.
Oh, there are two brothers from Washington, D.C.
Yeah, Washington, D.C. Good. And then Wilmington.
Amen.
He's here from Wilmington, Delaware.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Then the church in Philadelphia.
Amen. Amen.
Very good. Praise the Lord. Very good. Okay, now in New Jersey, we'll come from the south to the north. How many are here from Hamilton?
Amen.
Hamilton, New Jersey.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Very good. Then Montgomery.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And Franklin. Oh,
amen.
Good number from Franklin.
Lord
amen.
Jesus.
I don't want to see you sitting together after this, brothers. You have to blend more. We need more blending, okay? Okay, Manalapan.
Praise
Hallelujah.
Lord.
Very good.
Amen.
Amen. Edison.
Praise
Hallelujah.
Lord. Amen.
Church in Edison. Piscataway.
Piscataway. Amen.
Wow, a lot from Piscataway. Good.
Amen.
Let's have more blending, brothers,
Amen.
Okay? You're all sitting together. I don't know. Berkeley Heights.
Berkeley Heights. They didn't count.
No one came from
Amen.
Berkeley Heights. Okay, good.
Praise the Lord.
We have a church in Berkeley Heights, New Jersey.
Amen.
Pray for them.
It's the latest church in your
country. The newest one,
Not
right?
Not the last one.
No.
Amen.
Nutley. Hallelujah,
Amen.
Brothers.
Praise
oh, good
Lord,
number.
Brothers.
Good number from Nutley. Amen. And Fairlawn. Wow,
Amen.
Very good.
Praise the
Eddie's
Lord.
Here. Good. Praise the Lord for Fairlawn. Parsippany.
Amen.
Very Lord good. Jesus. Parsippany.
Amen.
So that's 10, right? 10 churches? 10 churches,
ten
in,
churches in
New Jersey. 10 churches in New Jersey.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Okay. Then upstate, Rosendale. Church in Rosendale. This is
Amen.
A, Amen. This is our newest lampstand in New York.
Amen.
Rosendale, New York. Praise
Amen.
The Lord. Amen. And, okay, New York City. How many here from the Church of New York City?
Amen.
Very
Lord
good.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Very good.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Very good. Thank you. Thank you. We have...
Any missed out?
Did we miss anyone? Anyone from Albany or other?
New England area? Connecticut and Massachusetts?
Connecticut. Amen.
No. Praise
Very
the Lord.
Good.
Amen.
We have... Four districts now in New York. We're about to, huh?
Oh yeah, from South Korea.
Oh,
Amen.
The trainees are here.
Praise the Lord.
Trainees are here.
That's right.
We have the visiting trainees from
Amen.
South Korea. So we have four districts about to start. The fifth one in the Bronx, as our brother mentioned. So the Lord is moving.
Amen.
The Lord is spreading.
Amen.
And as He is spreading, I think this is a very, very precious time
Amen.
For us to be together. And as the brothers have mentioned, we need more times like this.
Amen.
We need the blending together. We need to know one another. We need to pray for one another and stand with one another as the Lord is trailblazing on
Amen.
In this region and this area of the country. The Lord has a lot to do. So, okay, today in this meeting we had 170 brothers plus 12 ushering and serving, and then 32 sisters in the overflow.